So good morning. It is so good to see you, Angela. This is Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, and this is Angela's last of her five sessions. And then when we come back next month, we are going to be coming back with Linda Thomas, and she's going to be facilitating us for five sessions starting next month. So today we are talking to Angela. So Angela, I'm going to go ahead and let you set it up and go from there.
Okay. Good morning, Kathy. First, I want to say that these five sessions, this is my fifth one, like you said, have been a surreal experience for me. And I will be staying in contact with you. I'll be staying on this meetup because my goal is to facilitate my own group with mentoring young women and their daughters. But just to say that the book that we're been reading from that I've been using has been a wealth of information as well. So with that being said, this chapter 9 was about connectors. And it's funny because I used to consider myself to be a bridge.
Okay.
And so it was very interesting because the word that I used was synonymous with connectors. But in reading this chapter, the first thing that came to my mind was to be a connector, you don't really have to talk.
Yes.
You need to listen. And listening is a challenging skill for a lot of people. Do you have issues listening sometime, Kathy?
I do. My background is that I was in the salon industry for 25 years, mm-hmm. and I owned my own salon, and I worked in the office as it's in the salon itself. I had clients, mm-hmm. you know, every hour. But because I was the owner, I felt such an overwhelming sense of responsibility that I had to make sure that everything was going well. So while I was talking with my client across, because I did nails, and as I was talking to my client across the nail table, I also was listening to see who was getting in and out of the tanning beds and whether the washing machine was working okay and whether the back door was latching okay and you know, all of those things. And so through all of that, I realized that I was multitasking and that I could do about six things that I was listening to in the salon. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I would forget where the conversation was with my client because something else would pull my attention that needed my attention. And I was still trying to continue with my service like I was giving her my undivided attention. And so that was really difficult for me. And I did that for 25 years.
Wow.
So when I finally came out from behind the nail table and I actually retired, it was just like this weight was lifted because I no longer had to listen to, like, you know, 6 or 10 things at one time. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. I could just, you know, pay attention to what was going on. Now, the irony in that is now that I'm doing a lot of these Zoom calls and I'm interviewing folks and I also facilitate and moderate not only the conversation, but also the behind the scenes in a lot of these calls. Mm-hmm. My experience in the salon was actually a great prerequisite for me because now I can kind of see who's coming in the room. I can still keep the conversation going.
Right, exactly.
All those things. So it was probably a good segue for me.
So now for me, I'm going to go to this thing right now because I used to, I was listening to people, but there's a difference between listening, as he was saying, and then really comprehending what the person is saying and focusing on not only their vocals, but also their nonverbal too. And even when I was reading, something came to me also. This is such a good ending for me because a pause. A pause is actually, a pause can communicate to the facilitator, the moderator, or the speaker, what the person, what your audience is communicating as well. And that hit me really hard, because when we think, well, when you see a pause, I used to think that was the end of the conversation, but it's not. It's just a pause, and they might be looking for more feedback from me, or it's as a speaker, it's my turn to ask the question. And now I'm gonna move, and that is one of the segue here, was the important thing is asking questions. Mm-hmm. And I find that, so I was in the military, and asking questions could be considered being nosy.
Uh-huh, okay, okay.
So when I was reading this chapter, that's what it was. I said, oh, this is a great chapter. I wish I had read it, you know, like earlier. Oh, my camera's going out for some reason. So because asking questions can really, sometimes depends on where you are in your generation and your walks of life and how you're raised and things of that nature and your profession. You might, asking questions can be difficult tasks, but in order to capture your audience and to let them know that you really, really do care about them, you want to know more about them, you really do need to ask questions. You really do. And so I just thought it was, I'm just so fascinated. Oh, I get to be nosy. I get to ask questions.
I get it. And behind the nail table, I could ask questions all the time, and that wasn't an issue. But now that I'm doing the bed and breakfast, sometimes, I'm in several of bed and breakfast groups online, on social media, in my Facebook groups. And there was a big conversation about that. And they said, do you ask your guests, what brings them, into the to the hotel or into the guest house? And somebody goes, well, I think that's being a little nosy that you're asking them why they're there. And so I really debated that for a while. And I thought, should I ask them, what brings you to Canal Winchester? Should I ask them that, or is that being nosy? So I really debated that for a while.
Hi, Debbie.
Yes, hi, Debbie. Carmela said she's not in yet either, so I don't know. Carmela said she's trying to tap in. Here's Mason. He's finally coming in. Yeah, I don't see Carmela.
How are you, Debbie?
I'm good. I'm better than I was Monday.
Oh, welcome, Debbie, and welcome, Mason. And we already are recording, and we've already got started. And Carmela is trying to tap in. I told her to try it again. She wanted to know if I could see her yet, and I said not yet.
So that's what I did. I tried again.
Yeah, so I told her to try to check in again. So
were you feeling ill, a little under the weather, Debbie? Oh,
bless you.
Bless you.
Yeah, it turned out I had a sinus infection, and I did have bronchitis too. So, yeah, well, I went to the doctor's on Tuesday. He gave me a Z-Pack, and I'm on the road.
Very good.
Good.
Very good.
Thank you for asking.
Oh, I asked the question.
We were talking about Chapter 9 in Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, and one of the, it's about connecting, and one of the connectors is to ask questions. And so we were just having that conversation about, when I was in the salon industry, I could ask my clients questions all the time, like, hey, how are you doing? What's new this week? What's going on? How was your work? How are the kids? And then when I got into the B&B business, some of my chat rooms said that asking guests why they're here and what they're doing is a little nosy, and they think that it's not appropriate to ask those kind of questions. So we were just having that conversation as to how appropriate that was. Mason, how are you?
So what about
Oh, he said, sorry, he was late. His tech wanted to test his patient, so he's on the phone. Okay, so he's having some technical difficulties.
Okay. Actually, yeah, because I could not get anything to pull up, so I finally had to jump on my phone.
So you're on your phone today. Oh, I get. I've done these calls from my phone. That's the joy of this, is that you can do them from any device.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Debbie, what about you? As how do you feel like when you are in a conversation and you might be leading a group? How do you feel? Do you feel uncomfortable asking questions?
No, I don't, because that's the only way you're going to find out things. That's the only way you're going to actually be able to build a relationship. Unless you ask questions, you're not going to know anything. And I mean, I'm not afraid to ask questions. I do it all the time.
I was telling Kathy, like, for me, being when I was in the military, as a trainer supervisor, I had to ask questions, but it was considered, man, why is she so nosy? so nosy. Because not only did you ask things about the job, you had to be on top what's going on in their family life too, because your family life can affect your performance.
Yeah.
It really can. So I was good at asking questions, but at the same time I got the reputation of, man, she's nosy. But that was okay. We all worked together, we got the job done, and here I am. Mason, do you feel comfortable asking questions when you're leading a group or facilitating? How do you feel about that?
When I'm leading a group, I feel like I'm in charge, so therefore it's easier for me. Mm-hmm. The problem I have is when I'm part of the group, right, or there's not a formal leader, I sometimes get a little self-conscious, but then just kind of try and have fun with it, asking the questions. But there's actually a little uncomfortableness. Mm-hmm. In that scenario. But when I'm in charge and, hey, I'm supposed to ask questions. Mm-hmm. But it's the other way, the informal groups for me, that always gives me a little bit of nervousness. So I just try and force myself to have some fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Great. And in this chapter, page 201, I love the quote that Lisa Kirk said. And it says, a gossip is one who talks to you about others. A bore is one who talks to you about himself. And a brilliant conversationist is one who talks to you about yourself. I am going to take that and put it somewhere, because that, I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Being a conversationist is so important to connect with people and to find out what's going on in the world, in the world. And that's what we all need to be doing, because we're all leaders. We just sometimes we don't actually know that we're leaders, but I find that we're all actually leaders. So,
Angela, I have something I'd like to add. When I see really great speakers, you know, when I walk away from a symposium or a seminar or something and I go, wow, that was an amazing speaker.
Right.
It's usually because they've made connections with the group before they started to speak, one of two ways. Some speakers, and I'd like to try this sometime, I've not had the opportunity yet, but some speakers will actually mingle with the audience prior to their talk, and they're asking questions with the audience, getting a feel for who the audience is and what they really want to know, and what their thoughts really are about the topic. And so then when they get on stage to speak, they can speak directly to the questions and the conversations mm-hmm. that they'd already had with the audience. The right. second way, and I think we've all seen this, is a speaker will get on stage and they'll kind of take a little poll at the beginning of the talk. They'll say, how many of you feel blah, 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 or how many in the room think this, or how many in the room say that? And people will kind of, you know, and it gives the speaker the speaker has now connected with those audience folks, and they kind of know now where to go with their talk because they kind of know who their audience is. And right. they do that by asking questions, mm-hmm. you know, one of two ways, either before the speech when they're mingling or from the stage before they start speaking.
That is so true. However, you brought up a good point. When you're speaking and you have a physical audience, now, and this is why this chapter to me, it has brought out a lot. I don't know about how you all feel about this, but in this day of, Duo, FaceTime, WhatsApp, Clubhouse, and Zoom, we're not physically connected in this, the old fashioned way, I'm gonna call it, with our audience. And with that being said, we have to be better listeners, and that's listening verbal and nonverbal. And also listen, this is like a, listen for the pauses, which is, listen for the pauses. And actually we have to acquire intuitive skills. Because like right now in this format in Zoom, like Mason, for instance, I don't see his actual face. So as I'm talking, I just have to feel, be intuitive, and just hope that that he is.
There he is.
Oh, hi, how you doing? that what I'm saying is being communicated effectively to him. And even like Debbie, for instance, she's there in her office or in her home. So I had to look at her face and look at the expression on her face and just be intuitive and just to communicate. And then again, back to the ask questions and hoping and try to get my point across. But because of the nature of things now, I find that communicating is even more important now than ever, because I am not able, I'm a touchy-feely person. I'll go around and I'll go to my audience and I'll like put my hands on people and touch them and shake their hand or put my hand on their shoulder. That's gone. I can't do that now. So with that being said, how would you do that? How do you communicate with people now in this age? How do you communicate with people effectively in this age of Zoom and WhatsApp and FaceTime and Duo? How do you get your feedback, and how do you get your point across to them effectively?
Well, I know for me, and that is a challenge. If it's a new group, I have no answer for that. I've not had to go through that. But like, I work with people I haven't seen. Like, my group went in to the office last weekend, but I need to go in tonight just for tonight also. So I'm going to go in tonight and see people I have not physically seen in over 2 years. But we see each other on Zoom every weekend. So what I do when it's a group you see, but it's on Zoom distance, is you have to try and remember or make notes about something about each person, you know, who likes what. And it's little stuff, you know, Sheena's into Care Bears, Jameen's from Florida, you know, just I have to remember these things, because that's how you make that connection. Mm-hmm. And we get new people in the group, it's harder. I actually try and reach out and we'll call them, say, hey, how you doing? Is there anything I can do? Because I'm trying to show them I'm there, but I'm trying to learn about them, because like I said, I don't see these people in person. And going back to the beginning, the book talks about communication, 7% words, 93% body language. So yeah, it is tougher, and I don't have a good answer if it's a new group, someone I've never met before. I just have to hope their videos are on and just try and watch the eyes, you know, watch what's going on. I know that we're real clear for our meetings. It's funny, for our shift, you have to have your cameras on. Other shifts won't do that. And you could tell they're doing other stuff in the background. They're not focused. So it's those little things for the new technology environment, I guess is the right word.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. What about you, Debbie?
I don't have a good answer for that one. because the only people I really see is the ones in the grocery store, you know? And, you know, I'm starting to want to get out and I guess, you know, boy, coming off of COVID, it's just difficult to have a good answer for that, because, you know, before I was hugging people and just holding their hands and, you know, tap them on the shoulder, and now you have to be careful what you say and do. And the worst thing I hate is to say, can I give you a hug? I mean, oh, that's not being spontaneous, you know? Right. And so, you know, that's a difficult question. And, you know, that's one to think about.
You know what, Debbie? I have started asking that question now, or I would say, are you a hugger? Because I do hug, and you don't want to offend, you know, anyone, not the least you want to do so. I know I would just put it out there and stuff. So, but yeah. I do get what you're saying, because it is not spontaneous. It's all is very formal, and you just have to be you know, watch, just do what we have to do, right? to keep exactly. communicating, to keep connecting.
And like you said, you have to ask questions.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I think that does help you connect, though, with folks, even through COVID, because what it does is you're bringing the conversation back around, finding out what they're comfortable with when you say, you know, can I give right. you a hug? And if they go, oh, I'd really rather not, you know, it's because it's not about you. It's about them. It's about them not feeling comfortable, or maybe they've lost someone to COVID, or maybe they're just now coming off of COVID. And so anyway, I think it's important to maybe not take some of those responses too personal, and just know that it's all about the person that you're talking to and talking with. It's not about you, it's about them, and making them feel more comfortable, which is a great
You have to respect them where they're at.
Yes.
I'll throw a monkey wrench into this. Okay. And I can't see who was all on the call, but I've only seen ladies. I'm a guy.
Right.
I walk up and say that, guess what? Yeah. Society says I'm just insert your negative adjective there. But I'm actually not a big, with my family, I hug a lot. I always want to, but when I'm outside, I'm kind of keep a space. Mm-hmm. What I've learned to is I've learned to acknowledge that, you know, I don't get too close to people for two reasons. One, it's a personal space issue for me. Two, Angela, if I don't know you and come stand right next to you, guess what? Your defenses will just kick on automatically, regardless of who I am, period. They will kick on automatically. That's how you've been conditioned, and that's fine. I understand that. That's society. So I gotta be careful on, for me, I gotta be careful on things like that. So I've learned, once again, the intro, the icebreaker, is I articulate it. You know, I don't routinely hug people, but I will, you know, shake hands, or if it's guys, I'll grab their shoulders. Ladies, I can't do any of that. But then the way you get around it, so I'm laugh, Angela, but think about it. Yeah. It's true though, you know? Mm-hmm. But for me, the way I bridge that gap,
hey, you're right.
So then I don't look standoffish, because you're a hugger. And if I don't come up to hug you or whatever, guess what? I'm the bad guy. If I say, look, I'm not a real, you know, touchy-feely person outside of my family, then what I've done is I've made a little connection. I've made a talking point. I've explained where I'm coming from so that you know that I'm not blowing you off. So you got to look at that. And I say that, so if you're in a group of people, ladies, my wife, not big into physical contact unless she really knows you. So if you, well, I don't know, depends on her, but some days you may come to, she may not feel, want to be, you know, near people. So she may stand off, not because of you, but because of, I'm not really touchy if I don't know you. So that's an issue also we have to think about. I'm picking on myself as a guy because that's the red flag in the room. But if you're in a group with guys, same thing. You know, if you're trying to meet a guy who's just, you think has interest as well, you want to say, and this is great, and you give a big hug. Yeah, you know, it. So it's, I'll use the word politics of the situation, but it's definitely a small P for politics.
Okay. I like that. I like that. It does, the gender does matter, especially in, I think, in this day and age and stuff, where we are right now and stuff. So thank you.
So I gotta throw the male perspective in here sometimes.
Yeah, you know what? We need that. Thank you very much, Mason. we really do. So also, what I found interesting in this chapter, which I never really thought of, just as a speaker, in an informal environment, as like when I was working, of course I wanted my coworkers and everything to feel necessary and to feel valued, stuff like that, because that way they would be productive, they would want to participate, and we would I obviously say we're all in this together and we have to own what we're doing. But when I was reading this, I never really thought of it as a speaker / audience thing. And so that also was a light bulb too, because when you're talking to an audience, I started thinking, I really do want my audience, like you guys, Kathy and Mason and Debbie, to own what I'm saying and then give me some feedback so that you want to participate and that you know what I'm saying. So that is kind of like, I'm like, oh, it's the same thing, but on a different spectrum. And again, with this situation here, with Zoom, I just been okay. So how do I know that I am giving my audience? How do I know that you guys are, that I'm giving you all, and that that you feel valued? How do I know that you believe? I know that you believe in what I'm saying, and that you believe that I care about you and your point of view. This to me is, I don't know, it's I find it kind of difficult because I'm not feeling the vibes, but I find that but I'm learning. And I would like to know, can you guys give me some suggestions? What do you do what do you do to convince your audience that you believe in them, that you care about them?
Well, I have some thoughts on that, Angela. First of all, whenever I do a Zoom meeting, and like you said, there's just a lot of disconnect because we're doing it on a computer instead of in person. And so you're going to have a certain degree of disconnect. So the first thing that I like to do, and I'm going to circle it back around to actually running a mastermind and doing a 5-session mastermind, whether you're doing it every day for 5 days, or you're doing it once a week for 5 weeks, or whether you're doing it once a month for 5 months, but it's that 5-session is the magic number. And so when you put together your topics, I think the number one thing that you have to do, whatever your mastermind topic is that you have to really know your avatar. And what that means is know who your audience is. And so, for example, when I talk about passive income and I put together a mastermind for passive income, I am usually talking to an earlier version of me. And what I did, and Debbie will attest to this, what I did is Debbie and I went through three courses. Well, and Mason knows Carrie as well, Carrie Oberbrunner. We went through Your Secret Name, Your Deeper Path, and then Day Job to Dream Job. Now, Your Secret Name, kind of by the time you finish that book and that course, you kind of know who you are. And then when you go through the deeper path, you kind of know what your mission in life is, what your purpose is, what your opus is. Mm-hmm. And then once you know who you are and what your purpose is, then you can turn that into creating income by doing who you are and what your purpose is. So it's kind of like working into your true self. Mm-hmm. Well, for me, when I finished Secret Name, it came out Teacher. And then when I finished Deeper Path, it came out that my mission, my purpose in life was to try to help an earlier version of me. It was me when I was financially stuck and working two jobs and at the mercy of corporate America and all the requirements they put out there that didn't have anything to do with me specifically, but affected me tremendously. Like when my corporate job said, we love that you're in this middle management position. You know the job really well. You're even training other people that we're bringing on board. But our company made the decision that everyone that holds your position has to have a degree in this position. And since you don't have that degree, you either have to get that degree ASAP, or you could take the chance of losing your job. So see, again, they didn't target me personally. They just wanted everyone in that middle management to have, a degree program under their belt. So they weren't targeting me personally, but affected me personally.
Right.
And so when I put together my programs or my masterminds, and Angela, I think you can attest to this as you're thinking how you want to put together your mastermind that down the road you can monetize, is that oftentimes we are talking to an earlier version of ourselves or someone that we know personally that has gone through that kind of a struggle, and that's who we're talking to. So once you know that, and you can then, some folks take it right down to cutting out a picture out of a magazine of who that person might look like and giving that person a name. And so, for example, let's say that I want to talk to, I'll try to pick a name of somebody that's not in any one of my calls. I'm trying to pick a name at random. So let's say Susie is my avatar. And so Susie might be a single mom working two jobs, financially she's making it go. She's not eligible to get any government aid, but yet she's not quite making enough money to pay all the bills. And she's got kids that she's not spending enough time with because she's working the two jobs. And so I can envision, and I can even put on the wall behind my computer, I can even put a picture of what Susie might look like with all of her attributes, overtired, working two jobs, three kids, pays all the bills, but then runs out of money before she can get groceries or gas in her car. She's got all the other bills covered, but now she's right down to the wire on getting gas in her car. And one major financial disaster in her family, like a car breakdown or a sick kid or whatever, would put her over the edge. So she's living right there. And so when I put together my mastermind, I write and talk and teach to Susie. And so that's my number one point. The number two point then is the way to make the rest of your mastermind feel heard and to feel important, because they all do have a voice, is to give them time, and again, I love the whole point about asking questions, is to give them time to answer and to have their voice heard. It's to give them time to, ask those questions and listen to what they have to say on the topic that you're masterminding, for example, whatever that topic might be. So when you put together your program, your five session program, you want to come on board And I'm talking a little bit now about all of us putting together our first mastermind, because this is the final session for Angela of her five sessions. So now she actually is at a place where she could come up with her topic. Doesn't have to be the everyone communicates, few connect topic. It can be her very own topic, and she could launch her very own mastermind. And we've talked all along the way about how to set it up, how to advertise it, you know, how to promote it, and that you could even do your first one for free and put together, you know, your closest friends or whatever to help you get started, and then make them founding members mm-hmm. of your organization. And then at that point you can start charging, but then your founding members can tap in every time you do one, which gives you energy in the room. Mm-hmm. See? And if they've been, like Debbie's been with me from the very beginning, I'm sure when I talk, her mouth can move at this point. but the point is that whenever I have Debbie on a call, I know, bless you, Debbie, I know that I have her in my corner because she knows my message. She knows my heart. She knows me personally. And as a founding member, she can actually show up on a lot of my calls, and it brings that extra energy into the conversation, into the room. Yeah. And so with that said, I would encourage you, number one, to come up with your avatar on who your message is for. Mm-hmm. And I put mine right in a description of my avatar, right in my media kit. So when folks want to ask me to come on a podcast, if they want to interview me, or if they want me to be a speaker for any reason, I send them my media kit. They know exactly where I'm going to come in to their mm-hmm. to their organization, whatever it is they're doing, they know exactly what my message is.
I like that a lot, and it's very helpful for me. And also, this is a segue also back into Maxwell's this chapter, because it's like, what's evidence? What is your character? And even though we're in this format right now, Zoom. You just showed me your care. Also, you demonstrated your passion. And so thank you for helping me get to this point, because that is so important in order to keep and maintain your audience. They need to know your conviction. They want to know what your character is, what you stand for, what is your passion. And what you just did just now, You just gave me all that, and I that. So that is very, very, very helpful for me. And I think that's helpful for all of us too, because I don't have a question now to say what your passion, well, look at your, it says Kathy Benner, passive income coach, but that's also your passion, not only you know, your title, what you represent. And even like Debbie, she talks about travel all the time, right, Debbie?
Sally. Sally's
on. No, that's Sally. Debbie, I apologize. What, Debbie? What are you? What do you do?
I am.
All right, pull the VPS out. We've done this a million times in Build a Better Business. Course.
No, because I remember you talking about one day, but I have a brain fog here.
No, that's fine. Well,
that's okay. We all have this morning.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, my VPS is not coming through to my brain, the forefront, but I mean, I'm a farmer. I'm an author. I'm a coach. And the basis of everything is I want to teach mm-hmm. and I want to lead. So that's not exactly what I have written down, but mm-hmm. that should cover everything.
So I'd like to, can I jump in here real quick?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to use a different word that I'm really surprised Kathy didn't say. Clarity. Talk to other people. Mm-hmm. Now, I know, like, I've got a website and I've got my little blog. And I kind of know what I enjoy writing about and who I want to talk to, but I don't know how to articulate it in under 20 minutes. So I can get around to it, circle it. So I've actually reached out to a couple of people to help me. I'm trying to better define and focus my niche where I want to go so I can better relate. And I'll be honest, a lot of my writings, I phrase it as it's from a guy's point of view, but it's from what I write about, it applies to anybody, male or, you know, anybody. I can't say male or female anymore nowadays, but anybody. And whereas Debbie says she's a farmer, she's an author, coach, Kathy is passive income, and me, I'm lost. And I want to know I'm not alone. No, I don't say that as a joke, Angela. I don't. No,
but you're with, okay, I'm saying
55 in June, and I am internally feel like I'm lost and have been for years. And why the heck am I lost? And I shouldn't be. But I am. And I am at least smart enough to know that if I feel this way, other people do also. Other people, period. Other guys do. But you know what? We're not supposed to say that. We're not supposed to say that. That's wrong. Who the heck am I to say that? Kathy, I chose my adjectives carefully. I didn't say any bad words. But I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that. I'm not allowed to say that. But it's the truth. So well, I'm trying to figure out how to focus describing my niche to show that. Like I have the word storyteller written down.
Right.
Mainly because I was actually playing with that feature. I'll be honest.
But you know what? Let me jump in here and say this. I think this is a perfect topic right now, because as we're coming to the end of this 5 sessions, we're all thinking about how can we create a mastermind, and what would I create a mastermind about, and what would I talk about for 5 sessions, and what would be the point? And so that's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about the transformation that you would take your listener through from session 1 to session 5. The transformation that I'm trying to take all of our facilitators on this call through is to how to put together a mastermind and to be able to launch their own mastermind. So I want you to think about what transformation do you want to put your audience through from point 1 to point 5 to get through those 5 sessions. And once you know the transformation and you know who that avatar is, so I'll use myself as an example. Let's say that I have a single mom and she doesn't have a car that runs very well. She really doesn't have the time to go to college or get any certifications under her belt. She really doesn't have the money, you know, to have even childcare so she can go take a class somewhere. So I want to create a program that she can learn how to do something from home as a side gig, that if all she does is add $200 to her budget, that might make the difference in what car she drives. If she can add $500 into her budget a month, it might make a difference in her lifestyle. And at the end of the day, if she could add $1,000 a month, it might make a difference on what zip code she lives in. And so my idea by having my mastermind and talking to Susie, who I've created as my avatar, and I see what her problems are, what her struggles are. Now I can create my mastermind in 5 sessions to try to make a transformation in Susie. Even if it's wrong. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so, for all of you listening on the call, and welcome Carmela, by the way, for all of you that are listening on the call, think about who your avatar is, who your message is for, and then what transformation you want to take them through in 5 sessions. And Mason, yours might very well, you might tag yourself as you have right there on your screen as Mason Van Dyke Storyteller, is that through storytelling, you want to transform your mastermind group, if you will, to have more purpose at the end. Maybe that's the whole transformation that you want to take them through, is for them to realize what their purpose is.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Debbie.
No, go ahead.
I was agreeing.
to
Mason's is that you are not alone, because that's where I am. I just turned 65 years old, and I Thank you, Kathy. I am transforming. And but I know it's about single moms, or about relationships between girls and their mothers, because I found that that is relationships are broken. I don't have a daughter, but I through my own relationship and everything like that. So I just know that, and that's what I'm passionate about. But how to do that and where to go from there, I find it very challenging and stuff. So this is like my, because I'm retired, but I'm going into another phase of my life. I'm transforming another phase of my life, and I'm so excited about this. But I don't want to use the word stuck. I'm using the word I'm just a little bit confused about how do I go consecutively to step by step instead of going from one to three or four, because I need to go, I need to have completion at each step.
Well, I think the first thing is for you to start making your outline on what you want to cover in a five session mastermind is to put down your outline, but start with the end in mind, start with how you want your group, your mastermind group, how you want them to feel at the end of that five sessions. And then work backwards and say, if I want them to feel in control and vulnerable, but in control at the same time with these relationships, what topics do we need to talk about so that they can bring that to the surface?
And then I'd probably give them like, have like a certain amount, I give myself a deadline basically, right?
Right, where you're gonna put your five sessions together, you're gonna decide, like we've decided we're gonna meet once a month on a certain Friday. You're gonna decide how you wanna meet. What works really well on when you're first building a mastermind course is to do it once a week for 5 weeks. Because that way it gives them, the 6 days in between to talk about the different topics that you have. And so then at the end of your mastermind, you will have covered all the topics.
Okay, hold on one sec. I gotta get my...
Angela is at a vacation rental. Her Uber driver is on the way. She has to check out at 11. So she's multitasking a little bit.
I'm like, so sorry.
So we get it. Let's go around. Is there any comments? And I know most of you probably don't feel ready to do a mastermind. So here's what I want to encourage you. And first of all, we have Linda Thomas is going to be facilitating starting next month, and she's going to go through five sessions. And we're going to use the same topic. Everyone communicates, if you connect. But I want you to be thinking as you go through this, how you can create your own mastermind, because once you do a couple of free ones, then you can start putting it out there and start charging, and you can actually monetize these masterminds. And some big masterminds are huge money. And I'm not saying that we're going to make that leap. I'm just saying for you to get started. Remember, my passion is to just financially move you into some passive income, even if it's $200 a month, $500 a month, $1,000 a month. My job is, and my goal is to try to just move the needle a little bit. If you take off and end up having $2,500 or $5,000 masterminds, good for you. My hat is off. I would love for you to do that. But if I can just move your financial needle a little bit, to show that you can do it, that's going to be huge for all of us and for realizing that we do have the capacity to generate this passive income. And so I want you to be thinking about it, because I am now going to start a private little group off to the side for those that really are ready to do a mastermind. And so, So let me know, connect with me and let me know what time of day would work best for you. If daytime would work, that's best for me. But if it needs to be an evening or a Saturday, I can do that. But we're going to do a little how-to, and we're going to talk just on how to launch a mastermind.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, he's here now.
Yep, I see that. Angela, so I understand if you have to jump off. I get it. Yes. Because you're multitasking there on your end. I will
I really am.
Just jump off whenever you feel you have to, and I will continue with some questions with the rest of the group, just not on the topic of Everyone Communicates, but on the topic of actually starting their own mastermind.
Thank you real so quick, much. Angela. I am very much interested. Yes, Mason.
I was trying to get a hold of you. I sent an email to you. Can I get your email address? I actually want to talk to you. I don't know if it's the exact one. Kathy had it, so I'm not sure if I did the right one.
I'm gonna post it here. Is that okay? If I put it in the chat, do you see it?
Yes.
Please.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to reach out. I want to talk to you more about your granddaughter and the T-shirt because it gave me an interesting idea for writing, but I want to talk to you and pick your brain about some things.
Thank you. I would love to.
I love it. And Angela, safe travels on your end. I realize that you're traveling today, so safe travels on your end.
And, thank you.
And thank you for moderating, facilitating for us for the last five sessions.
It has been an awesome experience.
And I am going to reach out to you, Angela. I know you're ready to put something together. Who else wants to get in on a little private group, a smaller group? Debbie, are you ready to put something together? And Mason, okay.
Just not Monday mornings.
Do what now?
All your courses that I'm interested in, you do Monday mornings when I'm trying to sleep.
Oh, no. Yeah, we do a couple of masterminds on Monday, and then I do a couple on Fridays. I try to keep it on just a couple of days a week because I do a lot of real estate in between there, and I have to have some free days to meet contractors in the mornings. So, Carmela, welcome. So we actually went through five sessions. This was our fifth session of all five. And we used the book of John Maxwell, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And we did a couple of chapters. You know, we did like chapter 1 and 2, and then we jumped over to chapter 6 and 7. And then today was chapter 9, which tied it all together. And the whole goal is to not only do a mastermind, but to learn how to do our own masterminds with our own topics down the road, and then ultimately do masterminds for a fee where we can actually charge folks to join the mastermind. So that's where we're headed. And I have several that folks, I've got several paid masterminds, but then this one is the free one getting folks started. So anyway, that's what we're all about. And I think we've had several people go through. Mason has facilitated for five sessions. Angela's facilitated for five sessions. Linda Thomas is going to start facilitating next month for five sessions. I started it off by facilitating for five sessions. So anyhow, we're ready now to do a smaller private group on actually helping folks physically launch their first five session mastermind.
Thank you. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm in the car on my way to Maryland. So
okay.
To the house. So
all right.
Why can't I click? So I ended up shutting down everything. And it was like, my phone was acting up and my laptop. So I'm like, and then I can't find where my tablet is. It's in the car somewhere. So.
Aww. I get it. Mason struggled with technology this morning. Yeah. So there must be a technology ghost out there. But it's all good.
It's raining really bad.
Yeah. It's overcast here, but we haven't had, my guy actually got the grass mowed in between raindrops, which is a good thing because I have a full house this weekend at the guest house. So Debbie, are you ready to start a mastermind of some sort or a 5-week session of something to help get something launched for you?
Yeah, I'm going to think about it this weekend. There's probably a couple of different avenues I can take, but I really would like to, you know, keep or focus in on one aspect. And I want to put something together. It's about time.
Yeah. So think about number one, what topic is your hot button? What is it that you're feeling really passionate about? So that's your first step. Your second step then would be to develop who your avatar is. And Mason, this is for you too. Think about, you know, if finding your purpose is what you're passionate about, then maybe that's your topic. you know, if, because that's what you kind of indicated, is that you felt kind of lost. You weren't really sure where to go with this. And so once you come up with your overarching topic, then paint that picture of who that avatar is. What does that person look like that's having that same struggle? You know, see, and
not so much, it's not so much for me thinking I need to find my purpose. It's deriving a comfort knowing I'm not alone in feeling lost or questions or things like that. That's actually more important to me. Knowing, finding my purpose is an awfully big goal. And I'm not even going to pretend to be the expert on that. But maybe knowing that I'm not alone in some of these thoughts and questions, and I'm not talking dangerous stuff, but just questions that I think normally come up, and letting someone know they're not alone, and myself knowing that someone else has the same question, so I'm not just weird in that respect, that is. That's kind of more my niche, and I'm just trying to, and I'm talking to a few other guys how to articulate this. Well, I'm not articulate, but how to focus it and to narrow it down. Like I said, I can describe this in 20 minutes or more. I need to do it in a whole lot less than that.
Well, you're on the right path, because I think that would be a great 5-session topic, is to go through those questions. And once you kind of know your format, what it is you want to cover, the overarching topic you want to cover, and then it's determining, you know, who do these people look like that have this same question or the same issue or the same problem, and then how do you want to transform them in that 5 weeks? And that's the tough one, is what do you want them to, what do they look like today, and what do you want them to look like at the end of 5 weeks? My goal in having each of you facilitate for 5 weeks, the what I wanted to accomplish by having this free Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, is just like Angela, I wanted you to feel like at the end of 5 weeks that I could do this. I just wanted you to be inspired to say to yourself at the beginning, I have no idea how to do a mastermind. I have no idea what it means. And at the end of facilitating 5 sessions, to say, you know what? I could do this. I could take a topic. Now I'm ready to start working on a topic, and I could do this. I could facilitate my own mastermind. I see how it works. I see what they're doing. And I've talked a little bit each time about how do you market it? How do you, you know, how do you set it up? How many sessions should it be? What should you charge for it? You know, we talked about all those things briefly as we went through the actual 5 weeks or 5 sessions. And so we'll get more in depth in our private smaller group. We'll get a lot more in depth in what you personally want to charge for what you're doing once you launch it for a fee. But I recommend that everyone do their first one at no charge, just and get folks that you know to come on board with you through your first one, so that you're not too nervous, and kind of practice on them with your own topic. And now you could use Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. I chose the John Maxwell book because I'm a certified John Maxwell coach, and he allows us to use his material. But you can use your own material, or you could do it. You could do it in all kinds of formats. You could do it like a book study. If you had a book that you like exceptionally well, you could do a mastermind using someone else's book. And because you're going to send your folks out to Amazon or whatever to buy the book, you're not making money off of the book. You're just charging to facilitate a mastermind around a book, kind of like a book club. So there's all kinds of ways that you can do it. If you didn't want to write your own content, you could choose a book that has all the points that you want to cover, like I did with Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, and simply use someone else's book to do your mastermind. Does that make sense? So there's all kinds of ways that you can put the program together. All right, anybody have some thoughts? We're at the top of the hour, and so I don't want to tie everybody up today. I know Angela had to go. She was telling me that she had to be out of the hotel. She was in a VRBO, and she had to be out by 11. She was all packed and ready to go, and the Uber was already on their way, but the Uber showed up early. We use Uber quite a bit. Uber always shows up about 10, 15 minutes early. So I knew they were going to show, and she was feeling a little anxious there at the end because she needed to get out of the room. So anyway, Debbie, thoughts or comments?
This has been really great. And each 5 weeks that we do this, things become more clearer in respect to the book and the questions that the facilitator throws out, and it makes you think. So I'm looking forward to the next session of the 5 weeks.
Because facilitator brings a different twist to it, which is what I like.
It does, they do. And that helps because, you know, there's never one, there's never one answer, never one solution to a question. And so when you get different perspectives, it kind of puts it together and says, you know, you got to think about it. So yep. I enjoy that.
Perfect. We'll be thinking about what topic, because I think that's the first thing you need to answer for yourself is what is my mastermind going to be around? You know, what kind of topic, where do I want to go with that? And then once you know the topic, start thinking about who in my world, who in my life would be interested in going through 5 sessions on this topic. And, you know, it could be anything. You know, I do how to build a better business. I do how to create a blog. I do how to write from anywhere in the world. I do long-term rentals. I do short-term rentals. So it can be around any topic that you have a passion for.
Yep, I agree.
All right, I love it. All right, so next month we have Linda. Everybody's got my phone number. Shoot me a text and let me know at least 2 time slots that work for you to do a smaller group. I won't guarantee that I'll choose that, but I'll just get an idea from the group at large on what would be a good day and time for everyone. Because I want to make it so it's easy. I don't want you to have to rearrange your whole life like Mason, have to change his whole sleep schedule just to attend something. So let me know a day and time, a couple of day and times that would work for you. And I'll try to get a common thread there and pick something so we can do a smaller group and get a couple of masterminds launched.
Cool.
All right. Perfect.
Thanks, Kathy.
Yes. Well, thank you for tapping in this morning, and we will see everyone next month with Linda Thomas.
Take care.
Bye.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Yes, you too.